Happy New Year, After Buzzers, and welcome back to the Outlander After Show. We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. I hope you're ready. All right.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello! Happy New Year! It's a new year, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new you. Welcome to the Outlander After Show, Season 4, Episode 8, 9, and 10. Yes. Wilmington, the birds and the bees, the deep heart's core. We're talking all of them. It's going to be crazy. I'm Adrienne Snow, and these are my fellow co-hosts.
Hey guys, I'm Angele Taylor.
And I'm Rachel Goodman.
All right. So, yeah, we have
so much to talk about.
So little
time.
And the biggest parts of the season have happened all over Christmas break. So, you know, that's how it goes down sometimes. So I just want to go and first thoughts on these past three episodes or just on Brianna alone. Jeez Louise.
Oh, my gosh. It's so loaded. It's so emotional. Mm-hmm. It's so everything. This is like the highlight of the show for me, not particularly this last episode, but the one before where she reunited is like what I've been waiting on this whole time. Not reunited. She just met her father, but
reunited
with her mom. And then meeting her father, that just, I don't know, it did something to me. What about you, Rachel?
Yeah, my favorite part of all of this was, one, seeing, like, we were kind of left on a cliffhanger when we left on Down the Rabbit Hole. Mm-hmm. And seeing her get back with, you know, not get back with, but see Jamie for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then subsequently, that father-daughter relationship that, even though she had a father, this is her biological father. Mm-hmm. And Jamie never really had a child that he could actually spend this much time with. So to me, that was the most endearing part of the episodes. Yeah. This has been my favorite part of Outlander since season one.
That's great. Yeah. Everyone knows that I don't really like Brianna, but I love these episodes. It's been really great just to see like the evolution of the character, the evolution of the actress, and to kind of see them both like finally, she feels settled into the character. I think for a long time, I just couldn't stand Brianna. So, but now I feel a lot more affection and love for her. I overall just enjoyed every single episode. I was excited to watch them. And sometimes I don't want to watch them, but sometimes I'm not as excited because I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to deal with this or I don't know if I want to see this. Yeah. And so, but it's been a good pace this season overall.
Yeah. I mean, the only comment I have that's a little like critical of this season, there were a couple of episodes that were a lot slower.
Yeah.
Not that it was bad. It's just like sometimes that next week would come and I would say, okay, no rush to get to this.
Yeah.
But when Down the Rabbit Hole happened, I was like, oh my God, I need to see the next episode now.
Yes.
Like right now.
Yeah. But I think since Down the Rabbit and On, it's been Rabbit Hole and On.
It's been really exciting.
Nicely
it's
paced.
Been very fun.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, as always, please subscribe, rate, talk to us on YouTube. We're in the chat right now. Follow us on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. Like, we really like to interact with our audience, and so we always encourage you to give us some 5 stars on Apple. And so thank you so much for tuning in. Okay, so let's just go right into it. Roger and Brianna, episode 8.
Like, whoa.
Let's go all the way back. I have to say, I was relieved that they just immediately went in with Roger and Brianna. Like, they didn't make us wait another episode. They didn't make us do this whole thing where they're like still like not, they're just missing each other, that we finally got them together within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so to see, well, Roger kind of be like, eh, about it. I was still like happy for them. I don't know. I had feelings about the way he was acting, and also knowing that he had to act that way so that her lady servant, whose name was Elizabeth, would see them.
I mean, the thing is, I know you've told me that book Roger is a lot different than TV Roger.
Yeah.
I could see TV Roger doing what happened in front of the shop, and I know it wasn't.
How was book Roger different?
It was like he's like Jamie, except for a younger version of Jamie.
He's a bit macho, more progressive.
Oh,
yeah. But this Roger, considering this is the Roger who told her that he wouldn't bed her unless she married him, and then the way that he reacted during that fight, and just how immature he could be, I wasn't surprised that he was
really
acting
stubborn.
This way. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's not to say that Roger doesn't have those moments in the book, but it's just that, yeah, we're not going to talk about the book because, you know, people don't want to hear it. But I get it. I wouldn't want it spoiled either. But at the same time, in terms of going maybe a little bit too fast, I did think all of that went maybe a touch too fast. Yes. Because I remember sitting there when Brianna was like, let's get married. And I was like, what?
Because that was the whole thing.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about his behavior?
Now, the only thing, like, and obviously his behavior was completely unacceptable. And, like, just everything about how he acted the last time she'd seen him was wrong. Mm-hmm. But in all fairness, though, I think because even though we didn't really see that mm-hmm. all this time had passed, a lot of time had passed from when she had seen him. So that's why I think she finally came to that conclusion, just being away from him for so long mm-hmm. and finally having time to think about it.
Yeah.
And maybe like in a year, or I don't think it was quite a year, but it was a considerable amount of time from North Carolina to when she ended up going into the Stones. Maybe from that point, mm-hmm. She had done a lot of growing and thinking and realizing she was in a different place and wanted
but
to
I
get
still
married.
Think that part should have been fleshed out a little bit more. No, it was too, like, everything was happening so consecutively and so quickly, and mm-hmm. then we saw Brianna, who doesn't want to get married, can't see herself getting married, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden she's like almost proposing and just kind of surrendering to Roger in such a, I don't know, such a vulnerable way. Yeah. She like changed faces. It's like a Gemini. Like she just like switched that fast. I'm like, really? So I don't even notice Brianna. She's super vulnerable and I can't really read her right now. I mean, I understand she's going through a lot, but who I thought she was, I guess they're fleshing out her character. She's developing and she's changing.
Yeah.
So from the inside out, obviously. But it did go really fast for me.
Yeah. I think if I understand her justification being like, well, he came back for 200 years for her. I get that to a certain extent. But at the same time, I just wonder if she would have wanted to get married if they were still in the 1970s.
Ooh, that part.
And so that kind of makes me go, oh, okay, well, is it just that you knew you were going to be here and that you want to stay here and that he's here, and so why not? And that's not to belittle the relationship. It just seemed a bit too quickly convenient. And also to serve the drama, of which we'll get to in a second. What about what's happening in the chat?
So, yeah, we have a couple of comments. Billy Jean Girl 24 says, I would love to see book Roger, then TV Roger. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Brown says, me too. And the comment about maybe not being able to hear me, so I don't know if that's something going on that... But, yeah. And then Merle Ortega says, can you describe what is going on? I am visual... Sorry, I think that they're saying they can't see the stream right now. And then Billie Jean Girl 24 says, Bree just gave into what Roger wanted. She kind of married him to make him happy.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it felt a little bit. But it's also, I get it. I get it, but I don't like it. I wish I at least had a conversation about that, more than, I thought you didn't want to sleep with me if we weren't married. Yeah. And then him being like, yeah, you're right. And then her being like, well, let's get married.
Yeah.
Can you guys explain something to me? Okay, so this ceremony, this hand fasting. Is she married or is she not married?
Because she's technically
she won't
married.
Acknowledge herself as married. She, in this saying. Last episode, she's like, I'm an unwed, pregnant girl. Like,
well, that's because she thinks he left. You know, up until that point when she's saying all of that, she's like, well, he left.
No, like at Aunt Jocasta, she says she's unwed, married. So she's not acknowledging herself. Even if your husband left you 10 years ago, you're either married or you're not.
Well, I think she did say that they were hand fast, but she also understands that hand fasting in Scotland is different from in the Americas.
Yeah.
So
legally, they're not married.
They have the ceremony of it, but that may not prevent... It's not a safety blanket. Like, in the times being married at that time would have been for her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. People are still going to probably approach her.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. she doesn't consider herself married, but Roger definitely considers himself. Oh,
Roger's a traditionalist from Scotland.
Yeah. And the thing is, I could see Roger being more about, like, this... Traditionalist from Scotland, mm-hmm. and the fact that he is Scottish and she's not. And so maybe in Scotland, it would actually be considered more of a marriage than in the U.S.
Yeah.
And okay. so that's kind of where I think he was going with it. And so to him, yeah, it's his wife. But yeah, no, I'm totally with you there, though. Mm-hmm. I think that if she's they're handfast, at this point, especially by Aunt Jocasta, she knows that Roger's still here and that mm-hmm. he came for her. I would have just said my husband.
Boom.
Yeah.
That part.
I'm not disagreeing, but that's probably what she was thinking. That it's just not a legal marriage.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. Even in the previews, we see somebody trying to marry her after one meeting. We'll see. I'm assuming.
You're talking about Ian.
No.
Oh. That was funny, though.
Yeah, that was funny.
That came out of nowhere. Like, what was that?
Well, okay, so, like, Jamie made a passing comment that apparently young Ian was smitten with her. Right, and I guess in his world, cousins, that's a very viable marriage.
I thought that was just in the South.
But young Ian getting down and being...
Technically, they are in the South.
They are. It's just hilarious, though, that he got down. He's like, I would like to propose. Well, no.
Because there's that whole thing about how you have to make an honest woman out of her because she's pregnant, but she's not married. And, you know, even when let's kind of go into that. With like, so Roger and Brianna handfast and consummate their relationship. And I'm happy to see that Roger's progressive in the bedroom. Claps to that. Because you're not progressive anywhere else, my friend.
That part.
Laura Penny says they need to get married within 1 year and 1 day from when they were handfasted. Ferguson Marsali got handfast in season 2, and Jamie insisted on a marriage with a priest to make it official.
Yeah.
I see. So it's not...
Because it could just be dangerous for her if she's unwed. Like, people will make assumptions and, you know, that crap. But yeah, let's go ahead and go into, because we have a lot to cover. Bonnet.
Ugh.
Or I'm sorry, Point Break. 1890s Point Break. So that's an old reference from the first few episodes, because he looks like a surfer and talks like one.
Okay. And yes, he does.
Yes. Like, what's going on? Anywho.
Does he even look old enough to be in that role that he's in? He just looks like a little kid to me. I can't take him seriously. And it's because he's too cute. Like, I want someone that looks a little more evil and not so
I like so that cute. He doesn't look evil. Well, I like that he's just evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the thing is, you could be evil and look like that. Mm-hmm. And the thing is he plays on that vulnerability, because you would probably, like, when we saw him in episode one of this season, we knew he was probably a bad dude, but...
I knew from jump that guy was gross. Well, I was like, this guy's bad news.
But we just kind of thought he was just in there with the rest of them, and that maybe he was in there for the same reason as other people. Yeah. And so... It didn't, like, I think that he knows how to act like he's a good, not necessarily a good guy, but, like, a guy who is not a threat.
He plays devil's advocate. He's kind of, like, on both sides. What? Like, he's a upstand. What did he call himself? He's bad, but he's an honest man or something like that. He made reference, he was talking to Roger, and I think it was talking about the wages or something, and mm-hmm. he's like, no, I'm not gonna get over on you in that way, like, I'm still gonna pay you. So he's acknowledging that he's a bad guy, but he's still, you know, honest in
his badness. I think I like that he's like somebody who would be, he uses the fact that he is physically, quote unquote, appealing to get over on people, in terms of people do have a kind of unfortunate bias about people they consider to be attractive. They tend to give them the benefit of the doubt. And so I appreciate that, that they use that in a way that kind of goes against what you would normally assume with a character like that, that he is not like, I don't know, the first thing that popped into my head was Matthew McConaughey and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. But he's really a bad guy. Like, he's really evil. Even if he's honest about it, even if he does what he says he's going to do,
yeah,
he's still going to, yeah, I'll give you the ring after I rape you. You know? Yeah, I'll let you go back to North Carolina after I take you to New York and you have to figure your way, or Philadelphia, and you figure your own way back.
Yeah.
So he's not, still not a good guy. Just because you're honest and, like, I'm honest in the fact that I'm going to treat you like shit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're still going to treat me like shit.
We have a really funny random comment in here. Eric Jackson says, I thought the devil looked like Ned Flanders.
You know, and Ned Flanders is hot, you guys. Okay, never forget. Anyways. The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh
my gosh.
In any case, so that whole situation with, I knew it was coming. Like, it's a pretty well known thing, even if you're not a big book reader, that Bonnet attacks Brianna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I liked how they shot it, because frankly, I did not want to see another graphic rape scene on Outlander. Season two pretty much did it for me. Never need to see another rape scene. But they talked about, just, it was nice to see a show acknowledge bystanders in terms of, we talk about this a lot, especially in the Me Too movement, about like people who know that these things are happening and do nothing.
Mm-hmm. It was all a group of men
and some women as well. Like, not to say that those women thought it was okay, but like, you could see that there was a, well, what can I do?
There's a normalcy. Like, it seemed very normal.
It seemed very normal
in that time.
Yeah.
So
that was his gang. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even the bartender didn't do anything and acknowledged her the next day. You know, it was like, so to kind of have that shown on television was heartbreaking, but it's also nice to see, like, okay, we don't really talk about this. I haven't seen a scene like that, oh my God, since The Accused with Jodie Foster, which is a movie from the 1980s, which is very graphic. Don't watch it. And so it was good to get that kind of... Don't watch it. Don't watch it. The Accused. But it was just nice to get that viewpoint and to... They do such a great job of dealing with how the victims of rape deal with their rape, how she dealt with it moments after when she goes to bed, how she deals with it when she talks later.
The way that they portrayed her after she dealt with it, I thought was probably the strongest part of the episode, too, because it was very realistic.
It was.
And just the way that we see Brianna, the way that her body reacted to the attack, the way that you could see, like, how broken, like, you could just tell, like, everything she had been through, and it wasn't, like, she reacted very, like, you could just, it was very believable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just to jump forward a little bit, and because I'm, like, clipping along, the scene we had this evening of this episode between her and Jamie, to kind of have them have that conversation.
I have thoughts on that.
Mm. Oh, well, let's go into it then.
Yes.
So Brianna and Jamie, they meet. They're happy. They're la, 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 la. and we'll come back.
I couldn't believe what I was watching when Jamie was doing it.
Oh, my gosh.
I get he was trying to show her a point. Yeah. But that is not acceptable.
I had to rewind that part because I couldn't believe it. I was like, hold on. I thought he was cannot be who he is
right
after he said this.
Here's the thing, is that the way he was talking to her, it was borderline, like, sexual abuse, too, because it wasn't real. Like, he was trying to prove a point, but just the way, like, the tone of his voice and the things he was saying to her. This is a woman who's just been raped, and Jamie's been raped, so he should have understood that someone going through that, you don't just do that, and I don't care if he was trying to prove something to her, and obviously the point got across. Mm. He could have said, let me show you what happens if you try to get out of something. He could have forewarned her. Mm-hmm. He could have said, I'm going to show you something to prove that if you tried to fight someone, you wouldn't get out of it. And it would have had the same impression on her. Mm-hmm. But he legitimately attacked her. And yes, it was just to show that he was just trying to prove a point. I don't think he's a bad guy. Very controversial what he did, and I don't agree with it.
I think I don't agree with what he did, but I'm also sitting in the comfort of 2019. And so I understand that that would be unacceptable for a man to do that now. Sorry. Other thought that I won't share. But at the same time, I also understand that Jamie is still from the 1700s to 1800s.
Yeah.
And as much as we want to wish that he was more progressive, and he is certainly progressive in a lot of arenas, he's still a man of his time.
Yeah.
And so for him to even think to do that is in its own kind of weird, twisty way a progressive thing.
It is very progressive.
I want to help you see that there's nothing that you could have done. Like, I understand that you're in pain. I've had that same pain too. But I don't want you to keep beating yourself up about this. So I'm going to show you as quickly as possible and as brusquely as possible.
And I
I
get that. I get that he's not even, you know, I get he's not from 2019. Mm-hmm. I think men in 2019 are probably capable of what he did too. Some men.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah. That's the thought.
So,
I was like, never mind.
I don't even think
it was very progressive how he like finessed that situation. Mm-hmm. That was kind of weird. It made me feel weird. And I really feel like it was a buildup for her to later explode on him because something like that doesn't go away.
No.
If you talk to me in that way, even if you were proving a point and even if, okay, I get it, and that's not who you are, you've already kind of left like my heart and my image of you tainted. I felt like that was the slippery slope of him being a father figure and him being a friend. Well, like,
and
he pushed those boundaries to where he was no longer her father. He was just a man that doesn't know her talking to her.
And that's why it was so uncomfortable for me. Not that he was trying to show her something, but like leading up to it, the way he was talking to her, the way he was saying, oh, maybe you wanted
it.
Sexual, maybe you
want it.
Yeah.
And it was very inappropriate.
Like, I thought,
like, if that's your daughter, you would, like, there would be a different angle you could come in on.
And so
and he chose that, and it wasn't appropriate.
So did that only to get her to swing at him. And I'm not saying I agree with it.
No.
I'm saying I get that he was egging her on in the ways that he knew would get to her, to get her to actually want to physically accost him so that he could overpower her to show her the point.
And
that she could have died, you know, if she had tried to fight back.
But
not to say I agree with this.
I get all of that. I get that he is progressive for the, you know, for the 1700s.
Yeah,
I get that, but I still don't agree. Like, I hold Jamie to a higher standard just because of everything. Yeah, because of who he is and because of the things that he has, the conversations. Like, when I see him talking to young Ian, I don't think he'd ever do that to young Ian. So why would he do it to someone else who's his daughter?
Well, and that's, I think we have to, because I wasn't surprised that he did that. I was uncomfortable that he did it, but I wasn't surprised. Like, once I started to realize what he was doing, I was like, oh, okay, I know what he's doing. But he also, because he's still the same dude who, like, spanked Claire, season one, season two.
Yeah.
He still is the guy who did say.
He was traditional.
But, and he still
is traditional.
Yeah.
And so he's still the same guy who said well, just talk about them keeping secrets from each other and her not talking about Stephen Bonnet and him not talking about how he beat Roger.
Oh, my gosh. The secrets were tearing me apart.
But him
like,
to
episode 8, episode 9, I was like, yelling like, why don't you just tell him, like, what is wrong? Like,
and I get that, but that's also building tension.
But
that leads to that moment where he goes, she didn't, he called her basically like a harlot because he's like, well, you told me that your honor had been taken, and now you're saying that you just were ashamed because you were pregnant by
and he
left you.
Boom.
And so, and that's I mean, that was a good moment to see because I like that. I like the tension of these scenes because they're saying things on the show that I don't ever get to hear on television. Like when she says, no, you don't get to be angrier than me.
Yes.
You know, because
we all have felt that. We've all been in that moment that she's in.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you messed up bigger. Like, you need to sit in your shame right now. You don't have a right to be angry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also just for often when rape is portrayed on television, it immediately jumps to, like, the males. Like, what the men, how the men feel about it. Well, the guy's so angry that his wife was raped, so he's going to go beat this man or this and this and that. And so for her to actually say, like, you don't get to be angrier than me, like, I
loved that.
I loved that moment because, and you know, we don't get to that moment unless Jamie messes up.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that. Okay, sorry. We jumped forward and we'll jump all the way back. So Brianna and Jamie first meet.
Rewind.
Back.
In any case, we're doing a lot tonight, y'all. To go from them, like, their lowest point to their highest point. Yeah. It was just really beautiful. And I was happy that they didn't, like, do some type of weird, like, oh, are you Jamie Frazier? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, I'm too ashamed right now. I would have jumped through the television.
But again, the writing was kind of weird because as she approaches him,
he's peeing.
He's peeing.
Yeah.
And then he's like, what do you want? And then she's like, you. And then there's this moment, like this ellipsis. Yeah. And it's like,
they did
well,
make that kinda weird.
I'm a married man. And it's just like,
just get
why
to it.
Why did you even have to go through that? Just give us the good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This is going to be an interesting relationship. I can already foresee that. Like, this is going to be a weird relationship.
Yeah. I do love, and this is kind of jumping back to right where we were, but it popped into my mind. I love the, as we see Brianna and Jamie together, there's first a lot of guilt that she's betraying Frank. And then when we get to their darkest moment and she actually brings forward and says, you're not my father. My
she
father
uses
was
that
a good
as a weapon.
Man.
Yeah.
He would never say what you said to me.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, Frank said some stuff to Claire. Okay.
Yeah, he did. Like, Frank was not perfect.
And Frank, book Frank, is much meaner than TV Frank. So, maybe. And kind of racist. But, like, I think I understand her beats in that moment, but at the same time, I don't know. I liked that interaction. I felt like it needed to be said. I also felt like we need sometimes to be reminded that Jamie isn't, you know, this like high ally feminist that we all want to believe he is. Like, he's still this dude.
Yeah.
He's still a man.
He's had his moments too.
He's had his moments.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that, but just to again go back to, so Brianna and Jamie finally see each other, and then Claire and Brianna get together. And I was so, I think I love how Claire is being handled this season. I don't know if we get enough Claire this season, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, especially the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, but it's nice to see this kind of like well-rounded, less volatile Claire. Don't get me wrong, I love when she like wants to punch a man in the face. I'm here for it every day, all day. But to see her just be really understanding of Brianna, to go from, I understand why you decided to come back, to, oh, I understand that you're pregnant, and to, oh, it's not your fault that you that this happened to you, to, oh, do you want an abortion? I will give it to you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is, like, top-notch progressive mom for the 1960s.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, well, yes. I don't know. Like, I didn't like to hear her say that because, I mean, risking Bree for that purpose, I mean, it's not the baby's fault how the baby got here.
I get that, but it's also, for Brianna, it's still, I liked that the show is speaking through what I mean. Like, it's still
your very choice. 2019. Right. Like, to be where they are, and I get that they're, like a little bit later than the 1700s. Well, a lot bit later, 200 years later. But it's still kind of early. Like, were they doing abortions back then?
Yeah.
I mean, they could still do them. And also,
What was it? Something popular and legal?
No, okay. But she still as a
Wade came out around. Yeah,
as a doctor, as a doctor, Claire could do it, and that's what she was offering it, like as a physician, not as somebody who was like,
but
well,
not with the proper like to ensure that it went through successfully.
Well,
like it
was
a huge risk, and
that's
I don't feel
saying.
Like it would have been worth losing her daughter over.
Well.
She didn't have anything to sedate her, to, like, make it a sanitary operation.
See, my thought is Claire did exactly the right thing because she presented the options. She said truthfully what the risks were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she said, you have a choice.
Yeah.
And it is really progressive for a woman who really, like, we picked up with Claire right after World War II. So for someone from that time period to be this progressive and be someone who's like, yeah, like, this is your choice. Like, that's very progressive.
And but she wasn't, like, trying to force her to do it. She wasn't, like, judging her for not doing it. She was just saying, like,
it's your choice.
If that's an option that you want, we can do it. And that's, and, like, she's like, it's a little bit too, I don't have the right proper herbs. Because that's what women used to do way back in the day. Well, okay, well, I have those herbs. If you want to kind of basically induce a miscarriage, terminate a pregnancy.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't offering anything that women haven't offered throughout history.
Well, it wouldn't be inducing a miscarriage. She said it would be surgical.
That's what she said, that she didn't have the herbs for it. And so she's like, we could have done it that way, but I don't have the proper herbs. It's also dangerous because we don't know in terms of potency. And then she's like, we can also do it surgically, but these are the risks as well. And so she wasn't saying you should just do this. She's saying these are the options you have if that's something you want to do.
Right.
But at the same time, these are the dangers that come with that as well. And so I just appreciate them having the conversation.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times that conversation won't even happen. It'll just be like, well, this is it. This is your baby. Let's get you married off to somebody. Yeah. Like, and let's keep going.
Yeah.
So it was nice to see that even for this time. Because we're still dealing with a show that's written by people in 2019 who are servicing, you know.
Yeah.
Current people. So
yeah, I'm not against the conversation at all. I'm just like, is it really worth like losing? Because like I could foresee something going terribly wrong, and then we have no more Brie. So
well, I think
and I know you would like that. No,
I think even if she has the baby in that time, I think we forget how easy it was for a woman to die during
childbirth. Yeah.
So. Either way, she could die.
Like, so. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, that's a, whole nother topic. Yeah. Whole nother topic.
But I, in terms of the conversation of them having it, I appreciated that that was seen. And then I have in my notes all the lying, just the continual lying, which we kind of touched on.
Even at the end, because like the whole thing was Claire didn't want Jamie to know it was Stephen Bonnet so that Jamie would not go out and try to kill him. And after all of this lying, we end, you know, episode 10
with
him saying,
go
find him so I can kill him. Yeah. Yeah. All of this, Jamie, haven't you learned your lesson?
No. When he did that, after he had just gotten reamed for lying, and then he immediately turned to Murtaugh and was like,
P.S. Go get him.
I was like, really?
This shall be a secret.
Why would you do that? This is the whole problem to begin with, that both of you were keeping secrets from each other. Claire was justified in keeping her secret because it wasn't her secret to tell.
Was it a lie or was it omission?
There's no difference.
There's no difference, yeah. Same. Okay. To me, it's the same thing.
Yeah, there's no difference.
Interesting.
I mean, there's a point where omission turns into a lie.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah.
Sometimes.
Like, there's me not telling you something versus me not telling you something for a while, you suspecting it, you finally having the courage to be like, are you doing this? And that's when it can easily turn into a lie.
That's when it does turn into a lie.
But the line that they share is so thin that it's kind of not even worth it sometimes to have such a big omission.
In this particular case, to me, it's a lie because he knows how Claire would feel about that. Mm-hmm. And he's doing this. And it just kind of like he already got in trouble. Well, not in trouble, but like he already created a problem by hiding something in the first place.
Yes. Right.
And then now he's going to, like, kind of along the same vein, he's hiding something else that's related.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should just be very open with Claire and like, I got to kill him. Like,
but Claire already knows that that's where this is going. Like, minute he heard that name, she should just know it's on and popping.
But he should also just say, there's a revenge I'm going to do this. To And it's fine for him to say, hey, I know you don't want me to do this,
but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Right. She can be as angry as she wants to be about it, but if he's going to find a way to do it, he's going to find a way to do it. And so they used to be really honest with each other in that kind of way. And that's kind of been something that's been missing, is that they're not quite in that like painful honesty of like, I'm going to do this.
And just, I mean, I know it's been more about Brianna the last like couple of episodes anyway. I want to kind of see what this does to Claire and Jamie, the lying, and now there's another one that's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see what this does to them because I could see it creating some major problems. And then what they still haven't touched on yet is the fact that Brianna came back specifically to save them from the future event of them dying in a fire.
Yeah.
But just because she's told them doesn't
We've
mean it's
gotten
still,
away from yeah, it, haven't we?
That whole, I mean, well, I'm sure we're going to get back there. Yeah. But
to be, I think, two bodies were found in a fire in their house.
And they were claiming it
and they
was
were claiming
Jamie.
Jamie. And like, so it's one thing to say, like,
are you talking
we saw
from
them.
A book?
No,
or?
No. Oh, okay. I'm talking from my own.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like if it were like they were hanged on this day, then that's unavoidable. But two bodies were found in their cabin. So we don't know who those bodies are, really. Mm. So
one could
we'll
be Stephen Bonnet.
One could be Stephen Bonnet. We'll see when we get there.
Let's hope so.
Right? But there's something else I was going to. Oh, I did like the just like the quick joke about Bree being a name meaning like darkness or shadow or something.
Oh, to bring destruction.
To bring And so I was like, oh, interesting. Like, we'll see if they're going to do something with that. And it has been kind of it has been a change since she's come of just like there's this new drama that they kind of hadn't had for a while.
It's like, I feel like it's less about the romance of Jamie and Claire and more about their family now.
Yeah.
Ever since she's been there, which is really nice.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's kind of refreshing to not see a whole bunch of the same thing. You
yeah.
Because I was getting jealous for my mom. I was like, well, she getting out his butt and not his butt.
I mean, I'm always here for an Outlander, Jamie, Claire sex scene. I don't
Maybe
think I've
next
ever.
Week. They are just been. So passionate. Oh my God. I love it though.
Never had a problem with that. I know some people were like, that first episode sex scene, was that necessary? And I was like, yes. This is Outlander.
No, I definitely appreciate it, but over and over and over. It's like, damn, I need a man.
In all fairness, season one was a lot different.
Yeah, it took a while before we got to that. But let's go ahead and get into Roger, just because we've been floating around him. We haven't really talked about him too much.
Poor Roger.
He got beat.
Ooh,
oh my gosh, his face was already swelling when I got him on
the
horse.
Did you see all the cuts on his forehead?
Probably
because Jamie have his ring on?
That's what I assume.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. But no, I thought he was going to kill him.
He's had a rough go.
Yeah. Poor Roger.
That's why you don't go back. Don't go back
Roger's
in time.
Roger's a fighter, though. He's a fighter.
He's Scottish. Yeah. I mean, just for them to. I would have at least thought that Jamie would have been like, you know what, bring him so Brianna can see me beat him. I would have appreciated that, to be like, yes, like,
but it did, like, honestly, if I wish it had been the right person, because seeing that protective rage from Jamie, even though it was directed at the wrong man, it was still very, like, heartwarming. Like, obviously he cares
I
so
knew
much.
It was coming, like, as soon as Elizabeth saw, like, they made Roger so, like, aggressive, and I've never seen him shake and pull Bree the way he did when Elizabeth was looking at them through the window. I've never seen him handle her like that. So I was like, oh gosh, just foreshadowing something terrible in the future. And it did. It happened so quickly. I was like, not even surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it's been rough for pretty much everyone who's gone back. But with Roger just immediately being sold to the Mohawk.
Yeah.
And a 700-mile trek. Sorry, I got some in my eye. To New York. I was like, dang.
And we don't know how far he got. We know at least
7 days.
Yeah.
At least 70 miles. So we don't know. Because they said
10 miles a day.
10 miles a day.
Hmm. Yeah. It's so. We'll see how that goes for him now. But we end with.
The buzzing.
The buzzing. And I was like, of course, there's another stone.
He's going to wait. So I knew that wasn't the same location. So there's another stone
there
that
are
you
multiple.
Can cross.
There are multiple stones.
Yeah.
Because
you know
the water, it was the water in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And then it's another stone here.
So my thought is that he was looking at the gems.
Yeah.
If he goes back through, I think he's going to come right back. I think he'd only be
I
going through
to
sell.
I think he needs to come right back.
Because those gems are probably worth a fortune.
Well, he needs those gems. He knows those gems actually belong to Claire and Jamie. And he needs those gems to get in and out. Because you have to have a gemstone to travel. And so I think the only reason he would go through and then come right back is to just get supplies and to heal.
Yeah.
Like, so,
he
because
needs
he's
to
like,
heal.
He's out in the middle of nowhere. He doesn't know where he's at. He still has
he
the Mohawk
doctor.
Hunting him. And so he would. I think it would just be a survival thing if he decided to go through.
Yeah.
But plus, the fact they're still looking for him. So there's a chance he could be recaptured and more malnourished.
And it's possible that he goes through, he does whatever he needs to do, comes back.
I'm right back.
And when he comes back, the search party happens to meet him right in the same area.
Maybe. It depends, because the time's still moving at the same time.
Yeah.
Cool. You're going into an early prediction. All
right. Well, we've got 5 minutes.
Yeah, right? Well, before we... I feel like we didn't do enough service to episode 9, The Birds and the Bees, but does anyone have any final things before we go into predictions?
I like the bonding, the father-daughter...
Yeah.
Moments and the hunting.
That was my favorite part.
That was really not hunting. I was like, they need to call it something else.
Oh, the bees? Getting the bees?
Getting the honey for the bees.
Procuring the honey.
Hunting? Really? Are you shooting all the bees? Like,
It's dangerous. Enough bee stings, you'd be out.
I know it's dangerous, but they're hunting you. You're not hunting
now. We just have a couple comments here. We've had people back and forth talking about, you know, abortion and everything with Jamie. But Laura Penny says, in the book, the gems belong to Claire and Jamie. But in the show, the gems were payment for being on the crew. That's what I thought, too, because Stephen
stole them from Claire and Jamie, though.
Got it. Yeah.
He stole them. That's why he had those. That's why Roger even knew about them, is because he knew about the stones from something else. Yeah.
And then... Denkira 1 says it's kind of risky to go through there because he can't know if it works in the same way as Cragna Dune.
And he doesn't know where he's going to end up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then Elizabeth Brown says these episodes have been the most book accurate. Good to know.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead into predictions.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
That always reminds me of Halloween. For some reason.
Yeah. Such a weird it's been sound. The same predictions thing for as long as I've been here. So, okay. Who wants to start?
Go ahead, Rach.
Yeah. So, I think, kind of like what we were saying, I think Roger's going to go through. Mm-hmm. And then, meanwhile, the search party, I almost feel like it's going to be for nothing. That they're going to keep trying to find him, and months are going to go by, and they're going to go all the way to upstate New York, and he's obviously not going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like Brianna is, she'll have the baby. I've heard some things about the book, so I don't want to say, what I think is going to happen based on that, but, just maybe that there's a suitor involved. but other than that, that's kind of where I think it's
kind of... at the end. I think, guys, that Roger will pass through and be gone long enough for the whole Claire and Jamie search party to meet them right there. So that would be, like, ideal. Like, please let this happen. Mm-hmm. I haven't read the book, so don't spoil it for me. But I'm hoping that he's gone long enough for them to catch up. And then come back right in the nick of time. Because I don't think he'll be gone long. He just loves his brie. And yeah, so.
It's good. Brie cheese is amazing.
It is.
Oh my gosh. Good. Just stop.
Sorry. Go. Was there
yeah, okay, that was it. It. We know you don't like brie. No, it's okay.
I like her now. She's much better. Except, yeah, whatever. I think that they're going to run into more problems than they want in the search party.
I think
they might even run into Bonnet in the search party. So that could be a whole thing of, like, I don't know. I'm afraid for Murtaugh's life right now because he's trying to confront Stephen Bonnet. And I think if he doesn't do it right, that Stephen Bonnet will, like, attack him, then go after Claire and Jamie, which would be unfortunate for Bonnet because he's going to die. But...
By the hands of...
Claire! That's what I want.
I knew you were going to say it.
I think with Aunt Jocasta, I don't know. I've always felt like she's hiding something or she's going to be like not nice in some
way. I feel that energy from her. Yeah. I definitely felt it when I first met her.
Yeah.
Like I personally right. When I first met Aunt Jocasta, something in the buttermilk just isn't clean.
Yeah. You know? So
it's just like...
It'll be interesting to see how that dynamic goes with her and Brianna and Murtaugh And then
they're really feisty. I think Brie and Anja Costa, they're going to bump heads.
Probably.
Because they're both firecrackers assertive in their own right. So I don't think that's a good mix.
Yeah. No, me neither. And then with Roger, I think he's going to go through. If he doesn't go through, he would be dumb to not go through. But yeah, that's pretty much all I got at this point. So it'll be exciting to see what's coming next episode and to get some things resolved, maybe, yeah. You know, so that I appreciate the clipping along. It's going really fast. I like that. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that wraps up this episode and this week of the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm Adrienne Snow. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Adrienne Snow. And where can they follow you both?
You guys can follow me. I am Anjel Taylor on Instagram at @AnjelTaylor_.
And I'm Rachel Goodman. You can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Rach Goodman. I'm also on the Young and the Restless AfterBuzz recap show on Sundays.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.